Okay. So, yep.
Yeah, you're all right. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Yeah. So,
morning.
Guys, this is my talk about Usable. It's pronunciation is Usable. It's a little bun because I went to the browser and I found Usable. And I like Wildcats, so that explains the logo, I guess, and the spelling. So, Usable. You could say it's a browser, but it's actually much more broad than this. I call it web interface, which adhere to the Unix philosophy. So the Unix philosophy, there are different formulations for it, but the one I usually use is go something like write applications that do one thing and that do one thing well, make them work together, and use text interfaces because text is a universal interface. I really like plain text. I want to store everything as plain text because you can put it in version control, you can easily see differences, stuff like this. And I want all the applications on my system to be building blocks and to be able to talk to each other. And the perfect way to do that is by just using simple text files, sockets, pipes, stuff like this. I don't really like one application that tries to do everything. I like many small applications that can work together. So, who is using something in this list? Okay, because philosophy-wise, these tools are like in the same area. Some statistics maybe. I started the project in April 2009. It was just, you know, a little attempt to try it out, but from day one I got a lot of contributions from many people, and actually it's pretty funny because I don't write much code for it myself. I just have to merge everything that comes in from other people, and I don't even have the time for that anymore, so it's the last few months I haven't been able to merge, and I have this whole to-do list of pull requests and patches that I still have to merge. Anyway, we have about 60 contributors, about 11,000 lines of code, 13 releases. This is not true anymore, the latest few months, but before that we did a release about every 3 weeks or something, because there's so much stuff changing and happening. And of course, the most interesting part is all the scripts that you can use in combination with Usable. And on the wiki and on other places on the internet, there are more than 100 scripts to do all kinds of things. I will get back to that later. So, Usable is actually a very broad term for a project that contains specific parts. The first one is Usable Core. This is just a component that by itself is not really a browser. Just displays, you know, like a web page or any HTML content, and provides all kinds of interfaces like sockets or FIFO or stuff like this. And you're supposed to integrate your own scripts with it to make it do whatever you want. So you can use it as a building block to make a browser, and that's what your full browser is. It's just Usable Core in combination with all kinds of scripts. But you can use Usable Core. For example, you could use it in a feed reader if you want to render HTML, or in a mail reader if you want to view HTML mails or something. Usable tags is like Usable Browser. Actually, it contains multiple instances of Usable Browser. It's just a wrapper that uses X embedding. With X, you can embed multiple windows into one window. So Usable tab is just a way to have multiple windows in one, and you have some nice tabs. Choose an instance. Because Usable Browser just shows one page and nothing more. There is actually also a surplus project called Dapt, which is pretty similar, I guess, to Usable Dapt, but it's much more generic. You can use it to dab any kind of application. And the three dots are here because you can do whatever you want with it, right? There's this guy who wrote Easable. Any Emacs users here? Well, for you, you can try Easable. It's this dude, he wrote an integration activates Usable into Emacs. So you can do web browsing with Usable inside Emacs, in your Emacs operating system. So this is how Usable Code looks like. Very dry, I guess. This is a GTK window. You have one widget here. This is just the web page itself you're rendering. And then you have a widget here, which is a status bar. By default, you just put the page title and the URL and the ID of the window. This is probably very useful because you need this. Because by default, the name of the socket have the window ID in there, because you can have multiple windows and you need to know which one should I send my stuff to. But that's what you can use the window ID for. This is just a default, and you're really supposed to put whatever in the status bar you want, and you can do this with FIFO or a socket. Okay, so this is the whole idea of how Usable Core works and what it's supposed to do. So it's one window and it just provides a lot of interfaces to all kinds of media, right? So most simply, it's an interface to X. You can use it as a normal window, but you can also embed it and do other things. You can also interface it through a FIFO Unix socket. You can make it read a file, and you can even send a lot of commands into standard input. So I'll show you some commands after this, but basically you can use this to make it do things like go to a new web page, or you can query information like what's the current page title, or give me the contents of the HTML, stuff like this. You can change the configuration by using the commands. So actually, this is what the configuration file is in Usable. It's just a list of commands that get executed. So it's just a file containing a lot of commands. So you don't even need a configuration file, because at runtime you can change everything how it works. Of course, since it's a browser, it interfaces with HTTP to the internet or to wherever. It can also read local files, and you can even send HTML into FIFO and Unix socket. So you can, for example, put it in a pipe and you can just send HTML into it. It also integrates with whatever you have on your system. Most importantly are probably JavaScript and JavaScript. So you can actually make Usable on behalf of you execute JavaScript, and it will automatically append some parameters like URL, page title, stuff like this. So you can create a page, a key binding, for example, and when you execute key binding, Usable will execute a shell script for you. The shell script will get a lot of arguments. So this way you can do a lot of things. Also, it can execute JavaScript. This is commonly used if you want to work with the actual HTML contents of the page, if you want to do, for example, the link hinting feature that I'll show it afterwards, that just shows hints on all the links and then you can follow them. I'll show that later. But JavaScript, you can do pretty cool things with that. And of course, also a very important one is the event system. Because anytime anything happens, Usable will report an event. You can make it reports on standard outputs, but you can also make it in Unix. So anytime it loads anything like a new page or even just an image or a style sheet, it will report an event. I will show you some examples of events after this. Do you have any questions about this? Because this is really the big picture of how it works. I will get more into detail. Yes?
So you almost all of the arrows are two directional, but when you were describing them, it sounded like the commands were all going in and the user space interaction was all coming out. Is there actually bi-directional communication on those?
With the user space?
With the user space and with the commands.
Let's start with commands. When you send a command to Usable, this is one direction, right? But the two say you want to query information, like what is the current page title or what's the contents of the HTML, then you can use, then say something like print, and then there's some JavaScript syntax for it to mean the current DOM, as they call it. And then you can get everything back to your source.
Actually, if you send something to FIFO or to one of these things, like a print statement, it will also give you the output, but you will see the output on your standard output. Because these don't provide like a way to get the info back, right?
I guess, so what's the difference between the commands and the user space stuff?
Okay, commands, this is usually what you do manually, or like you write a script that does a command for you.
Okay.
What I mean with user space is that you can make usable, do something for it. So you can create, for example, a key binding or even a mouse binding that says when I hit this mouse button or when I press this key, I want usable, execute this script.
Okay.
And then usable will execute the script, or JavaScript, or it can do socket IO. This is how we do cookies, for example. And this is actually a good example because with cookies, this is not something you do manually, right? Mm-hmm. Usable does it for you. So what happens is when you load the page, and then Usable will figure out, do I need a cookie for this? And then it will send something into a socket that says, I'm about to load this page, should I send a cookie? And then you can have a script monitoring that socket and checking a whitelist or whatever logic you want to have, and then it returns into the socket, like, yes, you have to send a cookie and this is it, or no, or whatever. And then Usable knows what you do. Okay?
Yeah.
So, these are some common commands. This is very often used just to change the URL, so if you have any script, which I will also show later using vmenu, change the URL, then basically what happens is you write this command into the socket or the file. You just say URI and then HTTP, whatever, and then Usable will change the URL for you. Reload speaks for itself, I guess, just to go to the current page. Just the zoom command to zoom into the zoom page. This is what you would use if you want Usable to spawn a script for you. So this is what you would use, for example, if you want to have a selector program to select the URL to go next to, then you can make a key binding that spawns a shell script and it will read from the list of URLs. And then once you have selected the URL, it will be this command. But I will show you in practice how that works. Event, this is, you could say it's a hack or a trick, but you can actually, we saw the event system that Usable reports events whenever anything happens, but you can also create your own events. So if you have a script that is monitoring the events to do whatever logic you want to do on Usable event, you can increase your event handler to listen to events that you create, right? So in your own scripts, in your JavaScript or whatever, you can generate your own events and handle them in your event handler, and that's what we use the event format for. So some examples of events. Whenever you have clicked on, for example, save link as or some binary file or whatever, you will get this event. This is pretty cool because you can have a script that is watching for your events. And when it gets a download request, you can say, for example, does the file name end in torrent or does it end on JPEG? And then depending on that, you can do something different. Like you can, if it's a torrent, you can put it in a directory for your torrent daemon, or you can move it into a specific directory for wallpapers. If it's a wallpaper, something like this. This is just an event that tells you when a page is loading. This event will be fired a few times. This is used to update the status bar at the bottom. This is whenever we click on a form or it receives focus. We use this, it slipped my mind where we use this, but this is useful somewhere. Whenever the geometry changes, this is also pretty cool because if you want to like integrate with your menu manager, or you want to change the size of something else, when the size of a musical changes or something like this, you can just monitor this event. Or for example, if you want to change the zoom level, say you make your usable window much smaller, then you will get during the change event, and then you can say, okay, since my window is so much smaller, I still want to see the entire page, and then you can like zoom out or something. And this is also a pretty interesting one, because whenever you hit a key on your keyboard, or whenever you hit a mouse button, you will get a key press event. So we use this to write our own key binding program. It gives us a lot of freedom, because every time a key is hit, you just get the event, and then you can create your own logic to manage key bindings this way. So, does anyone? Oh, yeah, sure.
How do you make the difference between an actual key binding and when you're typing text in a text area?
Okay, so usable is modal, like fitting for the eye. So by default, it will be always in command mode.
Okay.
So whenever you hit the key, it will interpret as it's a key binding. And there's just in the configuration somewhere a line that says if you hit the key I, then switch to insert mode, and then if you press the key ESC, go back to command mode. Does anyone already have usable installed or usable browser, or anyone is using it?
It's installed on my laptop there.
Yeah.
I just installed it.
Anyway, so what you probably want to install is usable browser or usable tab, maybe. Because those things give you a fully out-of-the-box browser experience, and not just a usable core, which is by itself doesn't do much. But this slide just shows you the difference, the visual difference between usable browser and usable core. It tells you which mode you're in. Gives you this nice progress indicator of the page rate progress by watching these events I talked about earlier, and of course the usual stuff like URL, window ID, and the dominance, just to say that the page load is done. So visually there is a really small difference between usable core and usable browser, but on the background, usable browser offers so much scripts and things that are going on. Do not see much of that. Okay, so features in usable browser, obviously it has a configuration file. I chose to stick to the XDG, basedir specification. So by default it will put its file in .config, in your home directory, .config / usable. When you run the program for the first time, it will automatically copy the configuration in there. So by default, the browser also comes with an event manager. This is just a Python script that is watching a socket to do whatever you want based on the events. It has a lot of plugins. Obviously, all kinds of plugins for pretty advanced keyboard stuff. You can compare this to Vim, I guess. You can write commands like in X mode. You can do like shortcuts like I, for example. And you can also use, for example, type a command and then arguments after that, and then the arguments will be passed on to whatever you have defined in the key binding. It comes with tab completion, a nice progress bar, and much more things. some handlers. These are just scripts that handle things, right? So download handler, I described it before. You get a download request event, and then you can do whatever you want with it. There's notification handler. This is for basic HTTP authentication. So it's also pretty simple. You get an event that says this page wants you to authenticate, and then you can make your script return the authentication information. You can enter it manually, or it can read it from a text file, or both of them. It's up to you. You can change the code. It has a cookie handler, of course, which I also described before. It's in Python. The schemes handler, this is if usable, tries to open a URL that starts with like FTP colon dash dash or VM2 or IRC, stuff like this. They call the schemes. So what happens is it will just call a script, and in that script you can say, okay, if the link starts with VM2, then open my mail program and do this or that. Pretty obvious, I guess, for a browser is that you have support for history and for bookmarks, but since it's usable, this is just some scripts, just like any other scripts. I'll actually show this afterwards, how it works. It has support for yanking and pasting. Pretty obvious, I guess. This is a pretty cool one. If you load the web page, then you can press a key binding to launch form filler script, as we call it. And form filler script, it will look at the contents of your web page and look at the URL, and then it will find a file that you have written containing contents for the form. So for example, if you need to enter login data on some web page, and it's the very first time you go there to the web page, then you can press the key binding. It will give you a little menu. You say, okay, this is my username, this is my password, and please store it. It will store it to the text file. It will enter it so you can log in. The next time you go to the page, suppose you don't use cookies, so suppose it doesn't automatically log in, you can just get the contents back in your form by just pressing the key binding. And of course, you can also edit any form by using whichever editor you want. So it will just copy the contents of the form into a temporary file, and you can edit the file with Vim or whatever, and then it will store it back into the form so you can submit it. Yeah, this is what we get for free. Searching and zooming, this is just a WebKit feature. You just provide some bindings from it. The link hinting, I will show that how it works. And of course, it has many more features than this. So, any questions?